getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of The Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Snead, Ben Poirman. Captain Sneederoo, it is indeed Wednesday, which means it's time for us to give our Bottom Line Big Five. This week, we're looking in the Big 12 at the top five passers. We're just looking for passing yards here, so we don't have to worry about if they win, if they lose, if they throw three interceptions, if they throw seven touchdowns. We're just looking for the passing yards this week. Would you like to go first?
Yeah. I'm going to go Dylan Gabriel. I am going to go Quinn Ewers. Okay. I am going to go Keaton Slovis.
Interesting.
I am going to go, I don't like this.
That's a big breath over there.
I'm gonna go Chandler Morris. I think he's gonna.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just don't.
I wonder if you are having the same issue that I did.
Yeah.
Because I had two on here that I felt great about as far as the selection.
Yeah.
And then I had three where I'm like, ooh, I think kind of category.
The problem is that UCF has got two quarterbacks that are just, they're doing the same thing. If we had one guy, they'd be leading the league in passing, or almost. They'd be in the top
and,
two.
And as far as a backup coming in from injury, so with John Rhys Plumlee, there's your starter, solid quarterback.
Yeah.
And then I have been, you know, I had no idea what the situation was like behind it, but Timmy McClain has come in for him.
He's done well.
Has been, I mean, almost as good as you could have. Now, at the end of that Kansas State game, kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
But did enough to keep you in the game in Manhattan and show that you can hang in the Big 12 with him at quarterback. So, Timmy McClain's an interesting case.
I know. And I'm just, is he starting this week?
I think he's starting this week.
I'm going to go ahead and put him in there. I think I'm going to put him in there.
I did not expect this.
Do we have the exact same five?
I thought we have the exact same five. I felt really good about, because Kansas, I don't think Kansas is going to get dominated, but I think that Quinn Ewers is going to as much as I think the secondary is the strongest part of that defensive unit still, they gave up a lot of passing yards to Keaton Slovis.
Yeah.
So was that more about the BYU offense committing to the pass? Because, I mean, they got shut down in the run game, which I was not expecting, and then just committed to it. Was it more about them?
Yeah.
Or is BYU's offense just better than what it seemed in the non-conference?
See, I don't like the idea. There's just not a whole lot of options.
Yeah.
You know, when you get down to, you know, and they're playing against Cincinnati, who's, I mean, woof.
Which, how about Cincinnati? It was like a 5-point swing where it's at home, Friday night game for BYU and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And it's our first newbie on newbie in the Big 12 matchup. And BYU, I think, was a 3-point favorite. Yeah. And now it's like a 5-point swing, and Cincinnati's a 2-point favorite. So I'm like trying to figure out.
I don't understand it. I don't follow lines and things like that. So, I mean,
and I think that's a pretty even game.
Yeah. I think you have just two really bad offenses going. I'm sorry. I'm hesitant. I didn't put, you know, Baron Morton.
Yeah.
in the top five. I mean, does that mean I don't think we're going to have a great offensive day? No. I just think that we're going to run the snot out of the ball this weekend.
I honestly thought about putting Donovan Smith in here because I think they're going to have to throw it a lot. And that doesn't mean I think, again, it's not, you're not picking a winner or anything like that. I think there's a very realistic, and again, game plan wise, I kind of hope this happens, where you're looking at Houston's passing yards being just a lot more than yours because they had to do that to keep up.
Yeah.
And you controlled it through the running game. And so I, and Holgorsen, that's still a pass happy offense over there. So part of that's what, I mean, it didn't matter what the week was, like, you were never going to pick West Virginia for this.
Yeah.
Right? Because they just don't have that offense, no, and that's not what they do.
No.
Where Houston, I debated Donovan Smith. I was going back and forth between, honestly, Donovan Smith and Chandler Morris. Because I still don't know what you have with them.
He's second
in the league right now in pass yards through four games, but the more you get into conference plays, the more you'll find out.
Once you start thinking about that, who those guys played, really?
They have played SMU. They've played Colorado. They've played Houston. They have played
Nichols.
I was going to say, yes.
I mean, they hadn't played anybody. The only team that they've played that could really kind of punch back and beat them.
Yeah. And so I was hesitant. I ended up obviously going, I can't believe we had the same five. I thought on this one, we would have some differences for sure. Yeah. But I like, you know what? Great minds think alike.
You know, the funny part is that she probably spent all morning working on that. I pulled that out of my tail in the last 5 minutes.
So there you go. You can let us know your top five this week of who you think will have the best five passing totals.
Or is it maybe just the big five of the Big 12 is just that really that predictable?
I think – I don't know because – like I said, I was having a hard time because I feel like when you're doing the recipe for the pass yards each week, obviously you're doing the basics, right? You're looking at the offense, you're looking at the quarterback, and then you're looking at the opponent, right?
Yeah.
But I think that this could be so flowing throughout the season because we still just don't – like, tell me what we know about the Big 12 for sure. There's some things, but there's not a lot.
I'm not 1,000% – sure that Texas is as good as their record says they are. I mean, that's – I look at Texas and I go, okay, you went into Austin and you beat – I mean, sorry, you went into Tuscaloosa and you beat Alabama. And in Alabama the next week was in a 3-3 tussle with USF.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and won a – basically won a 10-3 game. And I don't know. I just they're talented. They're super talented. And and you can't say that they're not. They're the most talented team. They're the most talented roster in the league, without question. But they played Rice. They played an Alabama who until this last weekend, you know, we were not sure that they were very good. That's all I got to say about that. And they've in Wyoming.
Closer than what that final score was.
Yeah.
Way closer.
Baylor, who we know is, you know, our game with Baylor is going to be a really good game. Let's put it that way. But now they're going to play Kansas, and I think they're going to do everything they can do to run that score up because the last time the Jayhawks left the field, they were all they were jumping for joy.
So they did in Lawrence last year, too.
Yeah.
I just still don't feel anyone has reached their ceiling remotely, right? Like, no. I think that there are some very talented teams in the Big 12, but I don't think any of them are bulletproof.
No.
And
one of them sitting right down the street over at 4th and University. That's a very talented team that's underachieving like the Dickens right now. And I'm not talking about Aaron Dickens.
And so, like, that's where I go, like, what do you feel confident about in the Big 12? The only thing that I truly feel confident about saying as a whole is that you have talented teams and you're a good conference, but you're not a great conference.
No. I'm not so sure that the Big 12 is going to have a team, the winner of this league is going to get in the playoff.
I don't feel great about that either. I have said that you're not going to be in the Big 12, in the playoffs.
I don't think the Big 12.
I don't think you will be.
Because I don't think the Big 12 champion is going to have one or zero losses.
Mm-hmm. And I think that will be the case for the conferences that you'll be competing with. Like if there's an undefeated Pac-12 team and you're a one or a two loss Big 12 team, you're not going to jump them.
That would be delicious, actually, to have an undefeated Pac-12 team get into the playoff and win the whole shebang. Would be delicious.
I think that Florida State
and that team be Washington State.
Florida State could be undefeated, and if they're undefeated, they'll beat you. They'll not, and then you know that there's going to be a spot saved for the Notre SEC Dame. And the Big Ten.
What about the Dame?
I don't know. I think that Ohio State loss might have deterred that route. It's the bottom line, 100.7. The Score. Back with more next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. A Wednesday edition with Scott, Chris Need, Ben Foreman, Luke Mosley, also behind the glass. Welcome, Luke.
It's a new Wednesday for me.
Pourquoi? That means why.
First day on the job.
All right, newbie.
That's right.
Internship. Just getting my feet wet.
So you are Luke?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Well, welcome. Glad to have you.
Can we call you New Guy Luke?
New Guy Luke.
All right.
Yeah, cool hand, Luke.
No, that's New Guy Luke.
I was going to say all the Lukes, though. Luke Skywalker.
No, that's new. Luke, that's Pickle. New Guy Luke. New Guy Luke until further notice.
Until further notice.
Yeah.
Until he's not
a until
new
he's
guy.
Not.
Or until there's a newer guy. Or they go
newer, newer guy. You know, the next, is there another intern?
No, I think Luke is the
so newest. He's New Guy Luke until further notice, until further and then notice. There will be newer guy blank.
We have a couple of new people who are floating around, but I think Luke is the newest. He's the shiniest car off the lot right now.
New Guy Luke.
You've yet to scuff him up or anything. Make him want to be traded back in. I regret it. I hate that I left the lot. Let's get in a play of the day, shall we?
Ebo will throw all day. Lofts it up, and that's nearly picked off, but it's caught by Harvin. That will be a Gator touchdown.
Yeah, that was Tim Tebow to Percy Harvin. Was that from the Swamp? Swamp Kings?
Correct. This day in 2008, number 4 Florida loses to Ole Miss 31-30 in the Swamp.
Yeah.
During the postgame press conference, Tim Tebow delivers the iconic, the promise.
You will never hear another team play as hard, and I will never see another player play as hard as I will for you at Gator Nation. Thank you. God bless.
See another show fail as hard as we will here on the
Well, I mean, I watched, I'm in the midst of watching. I've watched the first 3 episodes. I have one more episode to watch. Uh-huh. And I watched it on my plane to my undisclosed location this week. And there's things about that you like. You know, like I said, I watched the quarterback deal. I have a newfound respect for Kirk Cousins. You know,
Tebow is the same vein as the Johnny Manziel one, right?
Yeah, it's that same deal. After watching the Johnny Football one, I have less respect for him than I thought he was. I thought he was a scumbag.
I don't think anybody was planning on.
I know, but you thought you might hear some things that would make you think better of him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after that, I was like, I can't believe this Hognak got to play in college. And
I feel like I got the highlights from it just from everyone's reaction. Like, oh, he never actually watched game film. He was as big of a mess as you thought he was. Oh, there's a person that, of course, thinks that Texas A&M is like the lowbrow ag school to Texas's, like, oh, we're Texas sort of feel. So I was like, meh. I thought I was going to get around to watching it. I even said that out loud like 2 or 3 times, and it's now turned into the, I'll probably watch that.
The fact
I'm
that
absolutely not going to at this
the
point.
The fact that, that guy won a Heisman Trophy, the fact that that guy got drafted in the first round. You know, can you imagine? That would have been the most Jerry Jones thing in the world to do, to draft him and become the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, and thank God for Stephen Jones, for saving Jerry Jones from himself, because he was going to draft Johnny Manziel, and I would have had to have jam a fork in my eye over and over and over.
Man, speaking of him, and we should talk about Mike Evans yesterday. It's crazy how far away that storyline is. And looking back on the alternate reality, the what if that had happened, and you weren't able to talk Jerry out of being Jerry. He absolutely wanted the shiniest toy.
Oh,
speaking of the shiniest new car on the lot. That was Manziel, and absolutely wanted
that. Well, think about it. He didn't even make it the entire season as a Cleveland Browns quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
How many games would he have made it as the Cowboys quarterback? One, two?
And what I think is interesting, because he's a case of, you know, people were bagging on Kyler Murray when it came out that, like, he's having to log in his hours and they're having to make him study. Like, it is such a different level on the NFL. And in football, you just have to think about that. And the fact that he had what he was able to accomplish at Texas A&M without doing some of the things that you need to do to be, one, as effective as a player as you can be, but then to get to the next level on top of it. And by the way, college, high school, all the way down, film is important.
By the way,
studying to make yourself better is important.
Who's his OC? You know him. You loved him.
The name just...
And you hated him now. Cliff Kingsbury.
The name just...
Cliff Kingsbury. Who was Kyler Murray's OC for 1 year?
I forgot that it was...
Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff at that time.
And then
that's
he went,
right.
And then he went to... Right, he left and went to OU.
Yeah.
And was his OC there was?
Lincoln Riley.
Yes. Very similar offenses. You know, simplified for the quarterback. Not a whole lot of verbiage in the play calls. And then they get dumped into the NFL... Both of those guys get dumped into the NFL where the play calls can be literally 36 syllables and formations and things like that. And if they're not a student of the game, like the Tom Brady's, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes did the same thing, but he's a student of the game. And he moved into Andrew Reid's offense, which is one of the more complex offenses out there. But Andy Reid is one of those guys that has, you know, the quarterback has a lot of say in the offense and the terminology and things like that. But Kyler Murray and Johnny Manziel, guys like that, where it was very easy, you get to go out there and improvise. When you get told and get put into a box and you get told you have to perform this way, those guys just didn't want to do it. And that's why they both failed.
I just think it's interesting. Sometimes I feel like intangible talk, you kind of roll your eyes at a little bit because, well, you have to have the talent. But yeah, you do still have to have the talent. But, like... The Johnny Manziel, there was a quick, well, it would have worked, could have worked if it wasn't in Cleveland. That wouldn't have worked anywhere.
No, it wouldn't have worked anywhere.
Just like I don't think Kyler Murray, unless there's a drastic change, is going to work out anywhere. No. Does he have the talent? Absolutely.
He had the talent. And Cliff's offense in the NFL was even a little bit, it was kind of dumbed down for him. And I didn't say it, thought it was dumbed down for Kyler. And Kyler wanted to do it his way. And you can't.
And with Kyle, like, and it's a slightly different conversation, right? Because you've seen a lot of highs already in Kyler Murray's career, but the lows have already caught up to him to the point where, like, I don't know what the route will be for him as a pro, because someone will want him on the roster, but it's not going to be for the money that he just signed.
Nope.
They don't want him for that. The Cardinals aren't going to want him for the starter. I mean, they are already licking their chops at Caleb Williams and thinking, how do we ensure... And
Caleb Williams is probably
then
saying,
they go out and beat the Cowboys.
Not really wanting to go do that.
Yeah, so I'm just curious of what his career looks like. Because I feel like he will rapidly turn into a bounce-around-the-league guy for the next 5-6 years. And then it turns into,
well,
what kind of money is he expecting?
Not necessarily. Well, yes, he could be. But you have to be that kind of guy with the right attitude, because teams don't want to bring a bad attitude into their locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that's the one cardinal sin, you can be you can be all kinds of things, and the terrible person that Tyreek Hill is. Okay, what can he's not a cancer in the locker room. Yes, he's a terrible guy off the field. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my wife or my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, he's not a cancer in the locker room. If a guy that's a cancer in the locker room that can just destroy your locker room, that's the kind of guy Kyler Murray is.
Mm-hmm.
Can flat out destroy your locker room. And that right there overtakes your talent. And I mean, because if you are good enough, they will find a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
They will find a place for you. They will make excuses for you. Doesn't matter if you got drug, alcohol, violence problems off the field. If you're not a cancer in the locker room and you can help a team, they'll figure out a way for you to play. But if you're a cancer and you're a team breaker and not a team builder, that's why Johnny Manziel's not around. Those guys, they'll go away. And when, you know, Kyler Murray right now, the Cardinals are stuck with you because they gave you a stupid, ridiculous contract. They're stuck with you right now.
Mm-hmm. It's bottom line, 100.7 score. Kaylee's Dailies when we come back.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Snead, Ben Foreman, Luke Mosley all hanging out with you. Before we get to Kaylee's Dailies, Snead, everyone could use $10,000, right?
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't turn down $10,000. Unfortunately, neither you nor I nor Ben nor Luke can win this. You see, 100.7 The Score has teamed up with the Home Zone, making your house a home, to give away $10,000. We'll give it away on October 26th. All you have to do is listen to 100.7 The Score and tune in specifically at 10:45, 12:45, which is right now, and 2:45, and we'll give you a secret word. You take that secret word to 107thescore.com, enter it, and you will have a chance at that cashaline. Your secret word here at 12:45, Wolverines. Wolverines.
Michigan.
Nasty Cat is a nickname for Wolverines.
Yeah. That is an animal not to be trifled with.
What were some of the other ones Matt said? That was actually, which we'll have a winner tomorrow for the Kaylee's Dailies competition.
Yes, that is a heart. She has gone to the tape, yeah, so
was,
to speak.
That was, she's watched more tape than Manziel has.
She's not wrong.
Matt's was over the Wolverines.
Really? Wolverine.
Yeah, and yeah. Nasty Cat was a nickname. Woods Devil was a nickname.
Yeah.
Skunk Bear was a nickname.
The Wolverine and the Badger. A badger is another animal not to be trifled with.
Have you seen the European badgers? They look like they have good manners. But everywhere else, like the honey badger,
the American badger, the Wolverine, those animals will activate your insurance policy in a hurry.
Yeah, like the European badger looks like it would serve you tea if you walked into its den. An American badger will rip out your jugular.
For 18 years, my family and I had a dachshund. Little did I know that the term dachshund was German for badger hunter.
Mm.
Well, along with the animal facts, let's keep them rolling, shall we? Kaylee's Dailies.
Clint.
We've scared Luke. Yes.
Ben. New guy Luke has so many questions going on in his mind right now.
Every time.
He has that look on his face saying, what the heck just happened here?
An accurate question, by the way.
Because all people on the radio know, if they're not watching, is that it goes silent for like 10 seconds.
Except for like the chairs.
And the chairs are squeaking around. And you're like, what the heck are they doing in there? We're actually squinting our eyes and looking at each other.
Or are we? We'll never tell.
Yeah.
On TV.
Clint.
Yes?
Since snakes on a plane.
I'm tired of these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Beautiful. These monkey fighting snakes. They were based on land snakes. Did you know that? Those were land snakes.
Mm-hmm.
What would the movie be called if it had sea snakes? So, Kaylee is,
Snakes on a Sub?
That's exactly, Snakes on a Sub. I am tired.
Anaconda's on a cruise.
What exactly do we know about sea snakes? So, there are 69 species of sea snakes, and they sell seashells by the seashore. Nothing? That's gold, Jerry. Come on.
All right, well, that's well done.
They commonly occur in the Indonesian and Pacific Ocean, and no sneed snakes. no sea snakes exist in the Atlantic Ocean. Yes, so no sea snakes exist in the Atlantic Ocean.
You got through the tongue twister.
I did. Sea snakes, or snakes in the sea, are uniquely from terrestrial snakes because they are adapted to an underwater lifestyle, including holding their breath for up to
12 hours.
8 hours. And having a specialized nasal gland, horse name, that removes salt from the water that they take in. People often confuse sea snakes and eels, but eels have a distinctive dorsal fin. Do you have a distinctive dorsal fin?
I don't think so.
Good. Sea snakes have a paddle-like tail to propel them in the water. And these underwater reptiles like to prey on crustaceans and other crunch critters. That inhabit coral reefs such as prawns and mollusks. And to maintain their buoyancy, sea snakes have the ability to expand their lungs throughout the entire length of their bodies.
Whoa.
Yes. Can you do that?
No.
Yeah, I can't either. How about you, new guy, Luke? Can you expand your lungs?
Well, Luke is a trackster.
Oh,
so
really?
So if any of us could,
good.
It would be Luke.
Nice. Nice.
I'm still not putting my money on that. My lungs are head to toe.
I give That's you weird. The sea snake.
And not the sneed snake.
Not the sneed snake.
Please, none of that running around.
The sneed snake.
Nope.
Oh, if you say it with confidence and you say it with a straight face, it's science.
I did neither.
If you giggle, you're 14.
14-year-old, no yes, doubt.
We are, no doubt.
Sneed snakes, horse name. No there sneed snakes, no please. That on the chat line.
Sneed snakes, horse name. Blue-footed booby.
Yeah. This on the chat line, we got one vote for you for your fact. Sneed-a-roo should win. Or Kaylee's Dailies contest.
I forgot what I think. The umbrella necked whatever. I think I forgot what my fact was.
It was a bird.
It was an umbrella bird. The umbrella something.
This is on the chat line. Snakes on a Plane is one of the finest pieces of cinema ever produced.
I am sick and tired of these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Totally. And the TV edit makes it so much better. TV edit makes it so much better. This on the chat line. So I agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams can be just as big of a bust as college coach when being successful as a simple quarterback coach.
Yes.
I don't agree with the second part, but I agree with the first part. I don't think Williams is a no-doubter. I don't think he's a no doubt in the
either.
NFL, but I think that he will be the number one overall pick, though.
Yeah, I think everyone has settled in on him being the number one pick. Yeah. However, I agree with you; he's not a no doubter.
But to say like he's going to be, you know, for sure he's going to have this Hall of Fame career. He's like a Trevor Lawrence or a Peyton Manning type, where you've had your eyes on him all through college, and you know he's going to be like at worst just a consistent playoff leading quarterback. No, I don't think you should. I'm not sold on that.
No, well, it's all about situation and fit. Because you have the number one pick doesn't mean you have the administration, the front office, all these things in place. Let's face it. If you have the number one overall pick, it's because you sucked the year before, and it's not. And usually you stunk out loud because you had a personnel problem, a coaching problem, or front office problem. Most likely a combination of all three.
And so you have that sort of factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then like some, it's also up to the guy, right? And I don't think you can deny that he is an incredibly talented quarterback. He's not a system quarterback or anything like that. But I don't know if he's just I don't think he's just a lock it in sort of guy. Like, I don't think he's a, you should be putting all of these bets and all of your eggs in that basket right now sort of guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, you can't doubt the talent. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. So I'm going to put up, these are good, and they're Toastems. I do like the Toastems. Do like Toastem pop-ups.
No.
I like the off-brand pop-ups.
No.
I like them.
No. Have fun with that, man. You can have all of those. Just give me some Pop-Tarts, man.
Bobby Hot Dog said Clint is the off-brand Harry Styles.
Wow.
Which Bobby Hot Dogs apparently was the off-brand fantasy team.
I was going to say, Bobby Hot Dogs seems like he needs to get his fantasy football team in order.
He needs to stop doing these promotional videos and start playing on the field.
He needs to quit working out, coming out with all this chat line stuff and start getting your team roster in shape.
Bullfighter said, if you're looking for Snead, just look for the limping ref attempting to run down the field.
I won't be limping. I'm getting my knee drained and a cortisone shot. I'll be good. By the way, for everyone, I did the entire last season, and to this point, my right meniscus is torn too, by the way. I just have a matching set now.
Tyler said, Snead sells sea snakes down by the seashore.
Snead sells sea snakes down by the seashore.
That was really good.
That is good.
Hey, that'll do it for hour number one. So I saw this. I didn't get to it. I promise tomorrow we will have a cubicle update.
The cubicle update?
Cubicle update. That's on me.
Okay.
Have a good day, buddy.
See ya.
See you tomorrow. It's the Bottom Line 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That means it's time for the fastest growing game show in the world, Take versus Take. Clint Scott, Jamie Lent, Ben Poorman. Benjamin has the questions today, which means Jamie and I are going head to head. Jamie, you told me before we came on air to start the hour that you were feeling feisty today.
I did.
You still feisty?
And then I flexed.
You did. Show that one more time. I can't remember which flex you did. There's several poses.
Nope. Just like every time. You just can't throw them out just all willy-nilly.
Oh, okay. You wanted to be like your hero, Ben, and join the Wolverines.
Yes, he is definitely all swolled up.
He got swole for Christmas.
All swolled up with no place to go.
He had chips and then got himself some guacasole.
Guacasole. You are so good at that. Your swoke knowledge is swoke-tacular.
Ben, lay it on us.
All right, fellas. Let's hop into a hot tub time machine. Go back in time to start this off. Clint, you first. If you can still remember, what is your funniest childhood memory?
Oh. My funniest childhood memory. I'm trying to think of, as a child, when I laughed the hardest. So the first thing that comes to my mind is in high school. And, I think we were in freshman, like, English or something like that. And this is going to sound terrible, but this is one of the hardest I've ever laughed. Is we had to, like, she was kind of spazzy for a teacher and just, like, overreacted to every single thing, right? I mean, the classic, like, you could cough and she would be shushing you. And she would do this weird thing, too, where she would just, like, hover over your shoulder if you were doing work. And you're like, can I have some space? Like, very uncomfortable. Called her, like, a vulture. So we're in class one day. And she had just, like, ripped us for being, and we probably were being too loud, to be fair, but just ripped us, like, 15-minute lecture of not learning anything in class and getting yelled at for being quiet, right? Okay. And we're across the room for me and my friend Denton. And, Denton is just like leaning back after just being ripped, just so bored, leaning back, mouth open for some reason, and I tore my eraser off of my pencil and threw it, and it went all the way down.
Oh, like, gosh.
So first off, I'm like, I want to like jump up and be like, you guys see this incredible eraser shot that I just had?
Yeah, really.
And he is trying to like not choke. Because he doesn't want to get yelled at again. And then as she's like tuning in to like the slight noise that is popping up, all she sees him goes like, and we just all lose it. Like we just lose our mind. And now she is ripping into us again, but none of us can stop laughing. And it was one of those, now it is a gut roll laugh where now we're encouraging each other throughout the entire class. And it was just like a stupid little thing that just like one of those where you're trying not to laugh. And now that the dam has broke, the water is rolling through everywhere. And I would never be able, by the way, to do that shot ever again.
It's disappointing.
I know. I can try if you want to sit over there.
Okay.
That's the first story.
No, I don't want you to try. Okay, so high school is still considered my childhood.
High school, adolescence,
okay.
Still considered. Yep.
So you ever have a high school job and your manager at wherever, whether it was a restaurant or a fast food joint or wherever, usually like the assistant managers were really not that old. They were all like 22 or 23. Mm-hmm. They decided to skip out on college or they started and then quit or whatever. But they had a serious, you knew they were going nowhere. Mm-hmm. They had an inferiority complex, and they would try to take it out on every 16, 17, and 18-year-old kid that they were over the top of, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they were the boss of. So working at the Hastings in high school, Hastings Book, Music, and Video.
I miss Hastings. RIP, dude. Good so, memories.
One night on a Friday night, we close up shop, and all of us part-time employees are just out in the parking lot. Just somebody's got a truck. So we're just sitting on the hood. They're sitting in the back of the pickup truck, and we're doing nothing nefarious. Just sitting there with, probably had some Cokes that we had gotten on the way out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just sitting there talking, and the assistant manager comes out and he just chews into us. You guys can't be in this parking lot. You got to leave, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, we were doing nothing wrong. Right. So we're like, yeah, whatever, dude. Okay. Just get in your little, and he drove this little puke little yellow car. It's like, get in your puke car and drive off, man. You can't make us leave the parking lot. Okay. And there was like five or six of us, right? Well, he gets in his car and he just starts laying on the horn and he's looking back at us and he starts flipping us off. He's driving away and he drives right into a light post.
Oh my gosh.
Just on the side of his car, so we knew it didn't hurt him.
Oh my
but he
gosh.
Just along a big concrete light post, and so every one of us just, I mean, initially died laughing, ran over to make sure he was okay, which it was. Again, it wasn't a direct blow. We knew he was fine, but he just,
yeah, he's okay.
He's fine, but he just totaled the side of his car, and I was like, okay, there you go. Karma, bud.
Isn't it funny in some of those times, like, even if it's like nothing like set up like that, like you see a friend fall or something like that, and you have to like do that split second and judge, like, okay, is he dead or is he seriously injured? Yeah. Can I distract myself for the next 10 minutes rolling on the floor laughing?
Yeah. So that was my story. I can't remember laughing that hard ever again in my life.
You guys got me in a catch 22 once more. I hate this.
Good job.
I hate this.
Well, you did a good job forcing us to tell entertaining stories. So if you just want to give yourself the point, Ben, you can.
Don't you do it.
Clint, you earned this one because I can relate to a time during my high school days where we had a similar experience. I'm not going to get into details, but.
Yes.
All right, Jamie, you're next.
Good point. Good point given.
Second question.
He deserves the point for doing a good job giving the point.
Yeah. No. No. No, stop.
All right. Jamie, if you could eliminate, wipe off the face of the earth, just completely eradicate from the record books a dynasty from any sport, who would it be?
A dynasty in any sport. I would wipe out the Texas Longhorns baseball dynasty. I mean, they've been to the College World Series so many times and won so many national championships. I'd like to just wipe that out.
How many World Series do the Yankees have again? Remind me.
What's 27.
Oh, 27. When's the last one that they won? Remind me.
I mean, is there anything worse than a cocky Royals fan? You've won one championship in like 150 years, and you're going to be cocky.
You better give us both World Series, buddy. Aren't Yankees fans just win the worst?
Win the next 26 and you'll take the lead over
See,
us.
That's why I want to get... That's it right there. God. Get rid of the Yankees World Series. All a billion of them.
I tried to be nice and didn't go with Kansas basketball, and this is what I get.
Quit.
I'm emotional. Goodbye, Yankees. It's been nice. What?
Is that your answer, the Yankees?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get rid of all of the Yankees World Series.
Oh, I thought that was you taking a shot.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't think that was your legitimate answer.
Double yes.
I take it as a compliment. Notice I didn't say the Royals. Because you're not a dynasty. You're a joke.
See, this is the angle. This.
You're a joke.
This is the angle if I want to get rid of.
For a moment, I thought y'all were going to say either the Patriots or the Warriors during the 2010s.
I like Steph Curry.
Yeah, I had no issue with the Warriors. Yeah, I would have said Lakers before I said Warriors.
Me too. Me too. I like Klay Thompson too. I think Draymond Green's a moron. But...
So, Clint, you're up 2-0.
Yes!
Just for the comedic
like the Yankees
shot.
Have
Clint
take.
Is a dynasty that I would like to get rid of.
Was it just sports?
I can't remember. Sorry, that was a dorkesty. A dynasty. Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
All right. It's the bottom line. We'll finish up take versus take on the other side.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Take versus take. Be continued. We have 1 point to give away. I'm looking for a sweep. Jamie looking to salvage a point. Ben
is he though?
I think so.
No, he's just ready to move on.
He's defeated.
This game's over.
He's defeated.
It's just like every other day. Just always excited for this part of the show to be over with.
Oh, you don't mean that.
Actually, I do.
The heart tattoo.
I like
on your
asking.
Entire back with take versus take.
My heart take versus take.
Yeah.
I think I'm better at asking questions than answering them.
It's not true. You had a lot of wins racked
up. I thought I had a good questions yesterday. I had a good day of asking questions yesterday.
You did. I was very proud of you for your questions.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were really good. Ben, final question, please.
All right, Clint, you're up.
Yes.
What modern sports personality would be the best movie superhero?
Oh, the best movie superhero.
And this can even apply to guys here.
It's none of us. None of us would be a good superhero.
So you're not looking for an athlete? You're looking for a... Or are you?
Like a Stephen A., a Mike Greenberg, a Colin Cowherd, a Skip Bayless, a Shannon Sharp.
You know what? I will go. I will actually go in Raymar. And I'll take Chuck. And Chuck will be able to announce himself very well. He's never going to sneak up on any villain, but he doesn't need to because he's going to handshake them to death. That's like from the top of the building, Captain Handshake! And they'll go, don't look directly up! He's not even wearing a cape! Ah! You know,
let's get blinded. Ready to handshake!
The Nude Wonder, Chuck Hines.
Hope your lunch is settled. I am going to go... I'm going to go with David Collier.
Oh. Who's that?
Local TV celebrity David Collier.
Hmm.
I just think his wit and his charm would befuddle any criminal that was out there that David was looking to take down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm going with David Collier.
I only read scores in his voice now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So as a Lubbock guy and watching David Collier age over the years.
Oh, burn. That's right. Decrepit David. That's what they call him.
Well, I mean, it's better than the alternative of not aging. Meaning he just died.
He's dead. Dead. Yeah. Dead. Decrepit David over dead David.
Jamie, I'm giving you this point for that one. That was hilarious.
Call Collier.
Yay. Yay.
Hey, you didn't get swept.
So, Clint, hold up that W, baby.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Jamie gets the point. I don't turn Yankee hats upside down at every truck stop on the interstate. Meaning he does with the Texas hats.
The Longhorn ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Putting them upside down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The Patriots, 100% the Patriots, got so old. Yeah, the Patriots are a good one. They were kind of like my sports villain from a professional standpoint. From like when I was growing up, because they just kept winning Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were to ask me that question, I would have said the Patriots of the 2010s.
And like, maybe people disagree. Like the Warriors, I think there's a lot of things that were likable about them. But like the face of the Patriots with Belichick and especially New England Tom Brady, I didn't think were likable at all.
Yeah, I never had a big issue with Tom Brady. I just don't like Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Bobby Hot Dogs asked, did the Hastings assistant manager make Jamie trim up his rat tail to adhere to company standards? There weren't any standards working at Hastings, right?
I don't remember it being real tough. I don't remember it being real strict or anything like that. Hmm. The rat tail was gone many, many years before that.
D-Rock said, I already liked you, Jamie, but now that I know you worked at a Hastings, so much cooler now, bro. I loved Hastings.
Mm.
I'm in the same boat as D-Rock.
Used to be right across the, what is now Marsha Sharp, but wasn't then. But it used to be one right back there when I was going to college.
I loved at Hastings that there was just such a wide variety of things. Like, hey, you want a black light? Go to Hastings. You want a video game? Go to Hastings. You want a disc golf? Go to Hastings.
It's a cool place.
You want to go watch some sort of weird, like, Magic the Gathering tournament in the back of a store with a bunch of folding chairs? Randomly walk into a Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
Good time.
I think my favorite part of working at Hastings is when the movie White Man Can't Jump came out, which is one of my favorites. Came out on video, and we had, like, these huge cardboard cutouts of Woody and Wesley. I got to take that home, put it in my bedroom. Thought it was pretty cool.
My best friend right here.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Both two. We're three best friends that anyone could have. all right, let's get into a question of the day, shall we?
Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
All right, I want to look at the rest of the Texas Tech football schedule. Of course, say things don't feel great right now at all. That's probably the nice way to put it. You have Houston, your Big 12 home opener on Saturday. We'll have Optimum Game Day Live starting at 7 o'clock, who I would assume is going to be an answer on this list, but I won't answer for you. As you look at the schedule with what you have left, I want you to give me the three most winnable games on the rest of Tech's schedule. And that can also play into where you think maybe you think they get better by the end of the season, or home or away, whatever that may be, whatever it means to you. The three most winnable games left on Tech's schedule.
I'll take the next two, and I'll take TCU at home.
Yeah, probably things, as bad as it feels here, things not exactly lively over in Waco either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious about the TCU game right now, but I think that's a good answer.
I think they're an okay team. I just don't think they're dominant, and it's a home game, and I think your fan base will be fired up, and it'll be a great atmosphere that'll push on the Red Raiders.
You'd like that it's on a Thursday?
I don't hate it. No. Yeah, I'll take a Saturday off.
There's only one specific reason I don't. It's a very selfish reason. But in general, I like that you are on an isolated night.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not like, you know, you have the bye week in there, so it's not like it's a short week or anything like that. So I like that you have a, and it's not just a random game that's there either. It's a game that does mean something with TCU. And there's some extra stuff there against the Horned Frogs.
Sure.
So kind of like it. Ben?
So you're asking wins overall for the season or?
Three most winnable games.
Oh, three most winnable games.
On the left on the schedule.
Definitely U of H at home. And I'll give them the dub over Baylor too, even though they've had problematic results on the road. And maybe, just maybe, if they have all hands on deck for this one, UCF.
I think I agree with Ben, just slightly, because I was deciding for my third one between UCF and TCU. And I just think UCF might be a little more beaten up by the time they get here, where maybe TCU's a little more used to it.
Maybe so. I was impressed with UCF the other night against K-State. I thought they played well. The game was closer than the final score showed. They look like a good team with an explosive offense, all that good stuff. So, and I guess there was a little bit of concern when just in this question right here, are you still in it at that point when you're playing when you're playing UCF? And if you're not, would it be not quite the motivation or effort that we would need?
Right, and I don't think, like, by any means the wheels are going to fall off for UCF or for any of the new teams. If, you know, like BYU, if they bounce back and maybe have a good next couple of games or something like that, which they very well could because they're playing Cincinnati this week. I don't think the wheels will roll off for UCF, but I don't think they'll be as good of a team late as they are at the start. At least is what my expectation is.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.